Okay, let's unpack this. I want you to picture the classic startup dream.
Okay.
You've got this brilliant idea. You meet someone in, like, a Patagonia vest at a coffee shop on Sand Hill Road. They love your pitch, hand you a check for $2 million, and then, and this is the best part, they basically act as your Sherpa.
Right. They just carry you up the mountain.
They carry you up the mountain to success. You avoid every crevasse, and boom, you plant your flag at the IPO.
The golden handshake myth, it's a beautiful story.
It is. And today, we're going to take that story, light it on fire, and kick it down the mountain.
We really are.
Because we are diving deep into a set of sources that present a completely opposite philosophy. We're looking at the operational model of Angel to Exit, or A2E.
Right. The source material says they're the largest incubator and accelerator in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Exactly. And more specifically, we're looking at the writings of Fred Cohen. We have a piece titled Angel to Exit, The Philosophy of Self-Accelerated Growth, which is copyright 2026.
And self-accelerated is really the key phrase there. This isn't about finding a savior. It's all about building a system where, you save yourself.
It's so blunt, isn't it? I mean, reading through it, I kept thinking, wow, he's not trying to sell me anything.
No.
There's this vibe of, in my notes, I just called it free gold. There's this huge pile of resources, videos, tools, access, but it's behind a gate. And the gate isn't locked, but it is heavy. You have to be strong enough to push it open yourself.
That is a perfect analogy. The core mission we're looking at today is essentially how do you automate mentorship? And why does this accelerator believe that, and this is a quote from the source, the Lord helps those who help themselves?
So let's get right into the meat of it, the core philosophy. There's this mantra in the text that seems to drive everything A2E does.
We advise, you decide.
We advise, you decide.
It sounds so catchy, almost like a marketing slogan, but when you actually dig in, it's a radical restructuring of that whole mentor-mentee relationship.
How so? Because my first read, it sounded a little bit like a liability waiver, like, hey, if you crash the car, don't sue us.
Well, there's probably some of that in there, sure, but think about the psychological dynamic in most learning environments. School, university, even other accelerators. Who's the lord of the classroom?
The teacher, the expert.
The expert. And there's this implicit agreement that if I, the student, do what you, the teacher, say, then you are responsible for my success.
Right. If I follow your recipe and the cake burns, I'm blaming you, the chef who wrote it.
Exactly. Cohen is just flipping that table. The text explicitly says, not that I am the Lord, but at Angel to Exit, we help those who help themselves too.
And then it gets even blunters.
Oh, it does. We cannot make you do anything, nor do we want to.
Nor do we want to. That's the real kicker.
It shifts the entire burden of agency onto the founder. They're saying, look, we're the GPS. We will show you the traffic, the cliffs, the shortcuts, but you are driving the car.
So if you drive off a cliff because the GPS said turn right, it's still your hands on the wheel.
It's your hands on the wheel. You have to validate the advice. You decide.
And it stops the founder from trying to just please the mentor, right? I feel like so many founders get into that mode where they're just trying to get a gold star from their investors.
Precisely. And if you're building a company to get a gold star from Fred Cohen, you are not building a company. You're just performing. We advise, you decide, forces you to stop performing and start executing.
Now, this philosophy of you do the work, it isn't just some high-minded ideal. It seems to be born out of something really practical and honestly kind of funny. The source talks about the boredom factor.
I loved this part. It's so rare you see that kind of honesty in business writing.
Isn't it? Usually it's all, we are passionate about empowering change makers. But Cohen basically writes, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, how many times do I have to repeat the same thing to different people?
I prefer the answer being one.
One. Just one time.
It's the engineer's mindset applied to conversation. If you are an expert and you find yourself explaining product market fit 5 times a day, every single day, you are going to lose your mind. You'll burn out.
Man, a bored mentor is a bad mentor.
A terrible mentor. So instead of getting bored, they get automated. When the advisor figures something valuable out, a real nugget of advice, they record it.
Or write the article, build the tool.
Exactly. And then, this is the genius part, they program software to find the people who need that specific piece of advice and serve it to them automatically.
In the text, he calls the website a motorized contrivance.
Motorized contrivance.
It sounds like something from the 1890s, like a steam-powered carriage or something.
It does, but the metaphor is so deliberate. Think about what a motorized contrivance is: a car, a chainsaw, a drill.
They're all tools.
They're tools that amplify your effort. A chainsaw lets you do in 10 minutes what would take 10 hours with an axe. But the chainsaw does not cut down the tree for you.
And if you don't know how to use it, you're going to have a bad time.
A very bad time. So the website isn't a sales brochure. It's an engine. It's a power tool. The source is saying, we built this high horsepower machine to help you grow. But you have to learn to operate the machinery.
Which brings us to the manual, the tactical roadmap. Because mm-hmm. the source doesn't just give us the philosophy, it gives us the specific steps to turn this engine on. And I was surprised by how much friction is built into step one.
The friction is the feature, not the bug.
So step one is the setup. Mm-hmm. If you want in, you sign up for a monthly call. The notes say these are twice a month now, first and third Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific. But you can't just roll out of bed and log in.
No, there's homework. The text says, before joining the call, you might want to watch some of our hours of free videos and read the articles.
You might want to. That is some very polite code for, you better do this or you're going to look like an idiot, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a filter. Think about it from the perspective of that board expert we just talked about. If you get on that live Zoom call and you ask a really basic question like, how do I split equity with my co-founder? And there's a 20-minute video on the homepage called How to Split Equity. What have you just signaled to the room?
That I'm lazy, that I don't respect their time.
And that you aren't helping yourself. You're treating the mentor like a human serve engine. You're asking for a handout, not a hand up.
It's interesting because we usually talk about barriers to entry in terms of money. Like, yeah. I can't afford the tuition. But here, the currency isn't cash, it's discipline.
And for a lot of people, discipline is way more expensive than cash. Writing a check is easy. Watching 10 hours of dense instructional video and actually applying it, that's hard work.
Okay, so let's say I'm the diligent one. I've watched the videos, I've read the articles, I'm ready for step two, show up and participate.
Mm.
Now, I've heard the saying, half the battle is showing up my entire life. But the source material seems to have a real beef with that saying.
Mm, it does. Cohen writes, I don't think it's necessarily half, but if you don't show up, we aren't going to help you as much. It's necessary, but it's not enough.
But this is where I got stuck. When I think of participating at a startup accelerator, I think of pitching. I think of the spotlight. I think of me on stage selling my vision.
And that is exactly the ego trap A2E is trying to dismantle. The text defines participation very differently. It's not about broadcasting. It's about receiving.
How so?
It explicitly lists listening to others as a core requirement.
Listening. That sounds so passive.
It sounds passive, but it's actually active observation. The hot seat dynamic. Let's play this out. You're on the call. You run a biotech company. The person currently presenting runs a software company.
Okay. So I tune out, check my email, not my industry, not my problem.
Right. And that's the failure mode. Because when the advisor is grilling that software founder about their customer acquisition costs or their team structure or their legal setup, those are universal principles.
Physics of business.
Exactly. The physics of business. So by watching them get grilled, you learn how to not get grilled yourself.
So I'm learning from the questions other people get.
Yes. You're dissecting your own business without the emotional pressure of being the one under the microscope. The text really emphasizes this communal learning. If you only care about your 5 minutes of airtime, you're missing out on 55 minutes of free education.
That's a huge shift in mindset. It's moving from me versus the world to us figuring this out together.
And it extends to really simple things the source mentions, like punctuality and commitment. Get there on time, stay until the end.
Which honestly is so rare. Everyone in tech is so busy.
Right. Busy is a status symbol. But here, leaving early just signals that you're transactional. You came for your one little nugget and you don't care about the community. A2E is saying if you want the network effects, you have to actually be in the network.
Okay, so we've done the prep. We've shown up. We've listened. Now we want to go deeper, get that specific tailored advice. The source describes a cycle of return.
Right. This isn't a one-and-done event. There's a follow-up mechanism called the Ask Anything session. And this happens after the presentation or demo day.
But again, there's a gate. You can't just waltz in.
Always a gate. Between the demo day and the Q&A, you are expected to do even more prep. You need to digest the feedback you heard and come with specific, refined questions.
And there's a tool mentioned here I have to bring up because the name is just, well, it's a choice. The Juse.
The Juse. Capital G, capital W, trademark symbol, and everything.
It sounds like a magic trick from a 1950s comic book. Gee whiz. What is it, actually?
The source doesn't give us the full schematic, but functionally, it's a diagnostic tool.
a worksheet, a wizard, some kind of structured set of questions. And here's the rule. If they give you a free guise, you must complete it and set up an appointment to discuss it before the Ask Anything call.
So you can't just say, yeah, I looked at it, it was cool. You have to produce an artifact.
You have to do the work. It's another accountability check. I mean, think about it. If I give you a diagnostic tool to fix your revenue model and you don't use it, why should I spend 30 minutes on a call talking about your revenue model?
We have no data. We have no shared reality.
None.
It creates that shared baseline. We advise, use this tool. You decide to actually use it. And if you decide not to, well, the conversation's over.
Exactly. It filters out the people who just want to chat.
Speaking of filtering people out, let's talk about the limits. Because if I find a source of free, high-level advice, my instinct is to just camp out there. I'm pitching a tent in the Zoom waiting room.
And that is exactly what they prevent. The source outlines a pretty strict repetition rule. It says, you can come again as long as you are polite and reasonable about it. But then it drops the hammer.
What's the hammer?
I suggest no more than once a month for no more than 3 months.
3 months? That's a remarkably short runway. Startups take years. Why kick people out after 90 days?
Because it's an accelerator, not a parking lot.
Okay, fair enough.
Think about the goal. Self-accelerated growth. If you come in month one with a problem and you get advice, then you come back in month two with the exact same problem.
Then I didn't execute.
Right. And if you come back in month four and you're still asking for basic guidance, you're just using the mentor as a crutch. You aren't accelerating. You're just hovering. The limit forces action. It says, grab the insight, go away, build something, break something, and don't come back until you have a new problem.
The text does offer a little loophole, though, doesn't it? It says they're flexible and love good questions.
True. If you're a high performer, if you come back in month four with some fascinating, complex problem because you've doubled your revenue and your server is melting, they're not going to lock the door.
They love good questions.
They love good questions. But the default setting is up or out.
It really all circles back to that core idea of the learner we talk about so much. Information is just useless without application.
Which brings us to the synthesis of this whole model. There's a quote in the text, and Cohen admits it's a bad misquote of the Beatles.
The help you take is equal to the help you make.
It's cheeky, but it's actually the economic equation of the entire program.
Unpack that for me.
It means this isn't a transaction of money for services. It is a transaction of effort for insight. The more effort you put in, watching the videos, doing the gee whiz, listening to your peers, the more insight you can extract.
And if you don't put in the effort, the insight is just invisible to you. The text calls this the illusion of opportunity.
This was the most profound part for me. Cohen writes, the opportunity is right in front of you, but you have to see it and use it, or it is just an illusion.
That hits hard. It's almost philosophical. It's like the books in a library exist objectively. They have mass. They take up space. But if you never take one off the shelf and read it, do they actually exist for you?
Exactly. The servers are running. The videos are hosted. The Zoom link is live. The gold is there. But if you lack the agency to click the link and do the homework, then for you, that resource is just pixels. It's a mirage.
It connects right back to the beginning.
Yeah.
The Sherpa versus the self. A2E is so clear. This is a hand up, not a handout.
And that distinction is everything. A handout implies you're passive, you're waiting for charity. A hand up implies you are reaching, you are straining upward, climbing, and someone grabs your wrist to give you that extra bit of leverage.
But the momentum has to come from you.
The momentum has to come from your legs.
It really reframes the whole concept of free, doesn't it? We usually think free means cheap or easy, but here free means paid for with sweat.
The admission fee is your discipline.
So let's bring this all the way home. If you want to apply this angel to exit mindset to your own life, whether you're building a startup or just learning a skill, what's the loop?
The loop is simple, but it's rigorous. Step one, respect the automated knowledge. Consume the books, the videos, the docs. Don't bore the experts with questions they already answered.
Step two, show up. But really show up. Don't just broadcast your own ego. Listen, observe, learn from the mistakes of people around you so you don't have to make them yourself.
Step three, use the tools. Do the diagnostic work. Fill out the gee-whiz, whatever that looks like in your context.
And finally, execute. Don't linger. Get the advice, go do the work, and only come back when you've earned the next level of help.
It's a self-cleaning system. It naturally ejects the people who aren't serious, and it accelerates the ones who are.
You know, we live in a pretty amazing time. You can learn almost anything for free online. the collected knowledge of humanity is right there in our pockets.
It is.
But I think what this deep dive has really shown us is that the bottleneck is no longer access. The bottleneck is discipline.
That's the takeaway.
So here's the question I want to leave you with today. If the world's best advice is sitting in an automated database or a free Zoom call or a book on your shelf, but you don't have the discipline to drive the motorized contrivance, does that advice actually exist?
Or
are you just staring at an illusion?
It's a tough question. Is the problem that you can't find help, or is the problem that you aren't willing to do the pre-work to qualify for it?
Something to chew on while you tackle your next big climb. Thanks for exploring the philosophy of self-accelerated growth with us today.
It's a pleasure.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive. Stay curious.